We're glad you joined us this evening, and I just want to share with you tonight some things that I hope will encourage you. I have taken a bit of a detour from my normal Wednesday night through 1 Corinthians here because of the present circumstances, and I hope to encourage you tonight as believers in the Lord. And the title of the message I'm going to share with you tonight is Truths to Hold in Times of Turmoil, because that is certainly the case. And if you need, I'm going to be in various Bible passages, but if you need a reference, I'm going to spend the most verses in Isaiah chapter 43, so you can turn there and mark it in verses 1 through 3, and then 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 15. And so you go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. And okay, I can hear the pages turning. I can't, but I'm imagining, okay? And so I want to do better at dealing with this whole TV thing because it's a little strange. I just miss you guys. I miss everybody being here, and we're all gathered together in the worst way, but I know God has a purpose and a plan in this day for us, and so we are going to do the best we can, and we're going to get through this. But until then, hopefully I can get a little more comfortable. You can probably tell I'm a little uncomfortable with this whole TV thing, but I'm going to try and get a little more comfortable as we go, okay? And so, Bible's out, and let's begin with a word of prayer, as always. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come as your church, and though we are gathered together physically in different places, Lord, we spiritually come together, and Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts now, and Lord, to just clear our minds of the craziness of the day, and Lord, just to help us to tune in, and Lord, hear what your Spirit has to say to us tonight, as we are certainly in an unprecedented time in our nation, Lord, in our world, really. And Lord, we are in an unprecedented time in the church. Lord, we are unable to gather, at least in this country, together freely. Lord, we know that over the years in many other countries, this has not been such a rarity. People have been scattered and sought after and, Lord, martyred for their faith in you. And so, Lord, tonight as we gather together, Lord, we pray for the church corporately. I pray, Lord, for our fellowship here, Calvary Chapel of the High Desert, that you would just bless now our time of study in your word. And by your Spirit, just continue to strengthen our faith and encourage us, Lord, and we'll give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the last few weeks have certainly been full of unprecedented changes in our lives and our ministries. And listen, I would not be honest if I didn't tell you as pastors, as the pastoral staff here and the elders of the church, trying to figure out how to best meet the needs in a time of social distancing and at-risk populations in our communities, and how to sustain ministry and best connect with the body has been a challenge for us. And by the grace of God, I hope that we will grow and that God will give us the wisdom to rise up to this challenge, but it is a challenge. None of us have been trained. You see, all the years I've been preaching, I've never been trained to preach, you know, in this kind of a setting. And so it's a challenge for me. We've never ministered through an epidemic like this COVID-19 before and never had this level of fear everywhere. And we're all wrestling with it to one degree to another or another. And it's something that, you know, we just look at and we go, how long? I mean, I don't know about you, but how long is this going to go on? Is this going to end? When can life go back to some semblance of normal? And you know what? None of us has the answer to that question. And so we live in a time of uncertainty like we've not seen previously in this country. I mean, when you go to the store, you're not certain, right, anymore if you're going to be able to get what you went to the store for. It's a time where we've taken for granted things are always there and will be there and we can get it later, but that's no longer the case. And so tonight, I want us to, in this time of uncertainty, give us some truths that we need to hold on to that can bring stability in the time of instability. Truths that, well, we've heard previously, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, and we've repeated them to ourselves in certain situations, you see. But in this time of crisis, when everything around us is changing, everything that can be shaken is being shaken, I think it's really important to revisit and remember some of the truths that we might be those who are solid and stable in a time where everything else is shaking. You see, the Bible emphasizes that we as believers need to get the facts before we act. And I'm going to give you several truths tonight. Number one, if you're taking note, number one truth that we need to hold on to is that not everything you read and hear on the internet is true. Okay? Oh, but Pastor, I heard this, and I heard if you do that, and I heard if you're this blood type, and I heard if you drink a water every so many minutes, and I heard this, and here's what they say about that. Listen, you need to get the facts from reliable sources, and you need to be very selective as to who you listen to during this time. Many will have their own agendas, and yes, there are evil people out there who will seek to take advantage of you when they tell you the things to do or when they sell you something. They have their own agendas, both financial, political, and so on, for this crisis that we are currently in. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16, wise people think before they act, fools don't. So we need to respond out of knowledge and not fear. We need to make it a priority to get our facts from people who are trustworthy. And we know now one fact is not everybody is at equal risk in this pandemic. We're not all at equal risk. People over the age of 60, we know this is a fact, and those who have pre-existing conditions are the most vulnerable. And if you are in those categories, be careful. Don't be crazy. You know, you need to look for safe ways to continue to reach out to people and you know, show them the love of Jesus and share the love of Jesus, but be faithful and not foolish. Be careful. This will pass. Number two, this will pass. The Bible tells us that, well, in life there's going to be trials. Of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, New Living Translation reads like this. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. You see, we are to expect tough times. Tough times will come. But know this. That tough time will not last one moment longer than our Heavenly Father has set for that trial, for that difficulty. they certainly won't last forever. We need to do what the health professionals recommend to the best of our ability. We need to take common sense actions that will decrease the spread of this virus. But know this, we won't need to do what we're doing presently forever. Our churches will gather together again. And we need to focus, number three, on what's unchanging, not on what's changing. There have been and there will be many changes to our world and our community and our ministry in the coming weeks and going forward. It's safe to say we don't even know all the changes that this pandemic is going to bring on all of us. You see, we'll do things to serve our community and our church family in this time that we probably never dreamed of. I'm doing one of those right now a year ago. Be flexible. But remember, when things change, there's something that hasn't changed. What's that? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same. In the midst of all this change and craziness, you and I, as Christians, as children of God, can count on that truth. You can count on the fact that the God who loves you and me enough to send his son to die on the cross of Calvary continues to love us. And if he gave his son as a sacrifice on that cross in demonstration of that love, and then he rose from the dead in power, guess what? He's got the power to take care of you and me. He hasn't changed. Don't let the changes around you in society and the anxiety cause you to lose sight of everything that's still consistent, and that is the love and the faithfulness and the presence and the power of God through Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that. God has not left you. He has not left me. You see, Jesus said, I will never, no, never leave you or forsake you. And just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Son of Man, in the heat and in the fire, in that oven where they were being put to die, guess what? He showed up. He went there before him. And there he was. And the king looks in and he goes, hey, I thought we only threw three. There's one. There's one in there. He's shiny. It looks like the Son of Man. Yeah, Jesus himself. Hey, Jesus has been where we are, okay? And he hasn't changed in his love for you, and he will get you through and go through it with us. We don't go this alone. This virus, no surprise to God. And listen, he is there and will walk every step with us. You may feel alone at times. You may feel like no one understands. Some of you, the providers for your family, you're out of work right now. You're facing demands that you've not faced previously. You feel the weight of your responsibility to be there and to care and to meet the needs of your family. You feel responsible to do what you can in your place of service to the Lord to provide ministry. Guess what? God's there and he cares. And we can cast that wait upon him, and he will carry us through and we don't have to go through it alone. You see, we don't have to carry the burden ourselves. Jesus said, hey, I'm here. I will take care of you and provide for you and bring you through. I'd encourage you to remind yourself of Isaiah 43. In verse 1, we read, But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Doesn't that make you feel good? God, the creator of heaven and earth, he says, listen, I created you. I've purchased you. I've ransomed you. You are no longer someone who is afar off. You are mine. You belong to me. I brought you out of the slave market of fear. I brought you out of the slave market of anxiety. I brought you out of the slave market, you see, of the world's values. I brought you, and I've called you by name. Personal. He knows your name. And you are his. And guess what? God takes good care of his stuff. You belong to him. He takes good care of his stuff. And so he goes on, Isaiah does, in verse 2. And he says, so when you go through the deep waters, I would be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. When you have COVID-19 all around you. No, it doesn't say that. Okay, but the reality is that is in the list. You see, he says, when you go through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Now, he doesn't say that you won't feel the heat. He doesn't say you won't see the flames. But guess what? They won't consume you. They won't overtake you. Why? He's reminding the nation of Israel, his people, for I am the Lord there in Isaiah in verse 3. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We need to focus on that truth and not on all the noise on the TV and the internet. Don't you get tired of listening to it? I mean, it's constant. It never ends. If you wanted to forget it, you can't forget it. I mean, it's hard to forget. But the Lord is saying, hey, remember, in the midst of the noise, hear my voice. Distinguish my voice. Pay attention and listen to what I say, because the others, they're guessing, they're trying their best to fix things, but I alone, God is saying, can fix this. I alone can help you. Replace your worry with worship. Sing his praise. This is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. Don't forget that. That's another truth to hang on to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like flat, fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are reminded, aren't we? In this time, we're being reminded that the power isn't in ourselves. If we had thought that previously, and I believe that the pride and the arrogancy in the world, you see, as we have left God out and pushed God away, thinking our technology and our science would fix everything. We could, we'll deal with this. You see, suddenly, yeah, we got all this stuff going on. But suddenly, we're made very aware. It's very humbling. You see, we recognize how true this is. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars. These bodies, they're not, you know, they're a house for your spirit. Life is a vapor that appears for a time and is gone. We are clay. We are not all powerful. We are not all wise. You see, what makes us great is the God who made us, placing within us his treasure, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit to change our lives. He says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. And so what's Paul say following that? Recognizing where the place of power is and what we are in and of ourselves. He says, listen, we are pressed on every side by trouble. You feeling it? Pressed on every side, everywhere you look. Turn on the TV, pop on the internet, turn on the radio, boom, it's all around you. Trouble, trouble, trouble. We got trouble. We're pressed on every side by troubles. But guess what? We're not crushed, Paul says. We're not crushed. We're not out. We're perplexed. We are, aren't we? Our leaders, the world leaders, are perplexed. How do we put an end to this? How can we possibly fix this? We don't see any way right now. We're busy working, pouring all the money that we can, all the technology that we can, all the science that we can, and we're perplexed, though. How do we get out? How do we change it? How do we stop it? God tells us, as Paul writes here, he'd been in that same situation. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to fix this. All I know at this point is you love me and you're there for me and you care for me. So while I'm perplexed, I'm not driven to despair. I'm not going to sit down and just give up. You see, I'm not going to despair and say, well, this is the end. This is over. It's all there is. I won't allow the enemy to do that to me. Don't sit around in despair. Don't sit around in depression. Don't let the enemy get that hand into your heart. He says we're hunted down. Hunted down, especially if you have toilet paper. People are hunting them down. He says, but we're never abandoned by God. You may feel abandoned. But guess what? You got God's word on it that you're not abandoned by God. We're knocked down, Paul says. It's happening. People are knocking each other down. Trying to grab toilet paper and water and the various things, hand sanitizer. People knocking people down. We get knocked down sometimes as Christians. We get down sometimes. That is not something that is unknown by even the great men of God. At times we're down. But guess what? He says we're not destroyed. Knocked down, but we're not destroyed. I get down, he lifts me up. You see, that's the key. We need to remember that God is there and he will lift us up. He says, Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Yes, he goes on in verse 11 there for 2 Corinthians 4, we live under constant danger of death. Do you realize that? Have you been made aware of that lately? Again, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, whoever you talk to, hard to get away. We're in constant danger of death because of this virus. You see, if we happen to die in the process of serving Jesus, we are in good company, are we not? Throughout history, men and women have died. Why? Because they refused to live in fear and walked in faith. They continued living. They continued loving. Listen, we're in constant danger of death. And for us presently, not because we serve Jesus like Paul. We're in danger of death because of some virus. So we live in the face of death, verse 12. But it's my prayer that through this looming pronouncement, if you would, of this sickness that could actually take your life, that we would shine the love and show the love of Jesus to those around us, and that it would result in others coming to Jesus. You know, one thing that's maybe helpful, the silver lining, if you would, in this cloud is, well, many are at home. People at home, shut in, tend to watch TV or pop on the internet. And guess what? Because they get tired of listening to the newscast, they get tired of reading the news because it seems to be a bad news everywhere. They might just be surfing around for some good news. Maybe you tuned in right now because you're just going, what's this? And you know what? As a result, because they want to hear something different, they might just click on, God can do that, to the link and hear the message of the gospel that continues to go out in many places with many churches presently. It's out there. We're dependent on it. And a lot of people, I get emails and responses, are listening to it. And maybe there's a member of your family that's not saved and they pop on and they start listening. Hey, guess what? The word of God is powerful. It never returns void. And the preaching and the teaching of the word of God is going on. He can reach that person maybe who's been indifferent. They might not be looking like they're listening or tuning in, but they might just be. Maybe somebody alone. You're alone at home right now. Nobody else there. Family's far away, and you just happened upon this link, and you've clicked on it. I want you to know that God loves you, and that we love you, and we need to be those that are reaching out to help those who are in need, to those who are alone. This may just result in eternal life for many. That's my prayer. But Paul says, through the difficulty, in verse 13, we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, and so I spoke. We know that the God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, Paul is saying. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That's why we're here. That's what it's all about, you see. Opportunity. This difficulty is filled with opportunity. Easter's not far off. Guess what Easter reminds us of? Our theme this year for Easter, hope. It reminds us that there's hope. How's it do that? Because the sinless Son of God who hung on that cross died in your place and my place and took the wrath that we deserve, the guilt for our sin, the shame for our sin upon himself. And then he went into that tomb and he rose again on the third day in demonstration of power and victory over death. That we might have victory over sin. You see, even if Easter, as we are reminded of the power of God when he rose from the dead, if this virus takes our lives, you know, while the world may look at that and go, oh man, how sad, I want you to know something. That the reality is when we take our last breath here on earth, we take our first breath in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And all of our pain, sickness, and sorrow will be over. And guess what? We'll be able to hug and put our arms around each other. And we'll be singing and dancing and just rejoicing together and just basking in God's glory for all eternity. A grand reunion it will be. No COVID virus 19 in heaven. We don't know what the future holds, it's been said, but we do know who holds the future. And that's our Heavenly Father. And God wants us to use what he's given to us by way of grace and provision and care for us. And the love he's shown us to reach out to others. He wants the church to be the church. And go into your neighborhoods and reach out to your neighbors with the love and the truth of God to help those who are fearful, to reach out to those who are afraid, to those who have no family close by. Even those who are out, yes, hoarding out of fear, point them to the loving grace of God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. They're freaking out. They're hoarding. Why? Because they're looking for security. They're looking for stability in the midst of a storm. Guess what? We have Christ to offer them. Yes, as a church, we're facing some challenging times right now. But God just doesn't want us to go through this. He wants us to grow through this crisis. He doesn't want us simply to survive. He wants us to thrive in this crisis. And that's the difference between how we deal with this crisis as believers and how the world deals will demonstrate the love and the grace, the peace, and the power of our Almighty God. You see, as the church, just as did Jesus, we go out with his heart and we see every need that is around us as an open door, an opportunity for ministry. And I'm praying that through this, as we are being challenged, that our God will start many new ministries, that we will be led by Him and given His wisdom to share and to show His love in ways that we perhaps haven't thought of previously. These are certainly unique circumstances. These are certainly days of difficulty, unlike I've seen in my lifetime, you see. But as we see these things, what we recognize is frequently man's extremity or his difficulty becomes what? God's opportunity. I think of the Egyptians chasing down the children of Israel, and they had been freed from the slavery, and everything was going well, and they were starting out, and they were celebrating and running around just singing, and God had provided everything they needed on their journey, you see, to go into the land of promise that God had given them. And as they're cruising, rejoicing, they come between two mountains, Pi-Hahiroth and Migdol. The Red Sea is in front of them. And you know the story. The Egyptian, the Pharaoh, who was a little bit schizophrenic, changed his mind again. And he comes barreling down with the Egyptian army to take them back into captivity and enslave them. And as he's coming, they see no way of escape. The sea's in front of them, two mountains on either side of them. Oh, way to go, Moses, many of them began to say. You brought us here to die. We should have stayed in Egypt. But guess what? Tight spot. Many, many complaining. The Lord spoke to Moses. When Moses was praying, he says, get up and raise up your rod and stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And of course, you know the story. Moses saw the Red Sea part before them, and they walked across on dry ground. Were they facing difficulty? Did the scene seem hopeless? Does it seem that they had made a wrong decision in submission and obedience to God? Did it seem like it was the end for them? That difficulty, you see, that extreme situation set up that they thought was going to end their lives, God opened a way and they came across to the other side. Don't ever forget this. It's often in times of tribulation that God brings great revelation. That's true. Ask John, the disciple of Jesus Christ, who they sought to get rid of because of his preaching the gospel. And they sought to boil him in oil, but when they put him in the oil, he wouldn't boil. So what'd they do? They put him out at 90 years old on a deserted island all by himself. He was by himself. He had a bunch of prisoners that he was around. And there at 90 years old, a guy who had been faithful to the Lord his whole life, you might think, well, God, way to go. I mean, I've served you faithfully. And now this is what I get. I'm out on this island that's rocky and stormy, and I'm 90. Lord. But it was there on that island that John was given the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, in time of tribulation, God brought revelation. This is an opportunity in this tribulation for us as the church to shine. So I pray that you would continue to partner with us in prayer as a church, with myself and the elders and the pastors. Pray for the church family that God will help us to see how we can remain effective in ministering to our church family and seeing the salvation of many as we seek new ways, as we take advantage of this opportunity, and the church being the church, really reach out, because we got time on our hands, don't we? Can't make an excuse, well, I got to go off to work. No. You see, we have time to pray. Time to seek the Lord. Time to maybe just sit and, as the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. Just to still ourselves and to spend time in prayer and with our families and say, God, show us how we can minister right where we're at to our neighbors and those around us, you see. New ways, different ways to further the kingdom than we're used to. But hey, maybe they will be far more effective ultimately. I know this, God's got a plan and a purpose for us as the church, and we need to step into it. We need to seek Him for it. And know this, Jesus told the disciples, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. So guess what? It's not curtains. You see, it's Christ. May God help us to take those steps and to rest in those truths. Because we know who wins, don't we? It's not the coronavirus. It's Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and the faithful work and consistent ministry of your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that as we have heard these truths, God, that you would remind us of them. God, that you would help us to keep in front of us, Lord, the opportunity. This is not something that happened that you didn't know was going to happen. This is something, Lord, that you allowed for the purpose, Lord, of bringing us to a place of seeking you in a way that we, Lord, haven't known previously. God, I pray as a nation that this would bring the humility, that the answers aren't in our politicians or in our science books or in our technology, but the answer, the real need of the day, is to go to our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come to the foot of the cross and cry out and in prayer receive the power, living in the presence of God and walking in humility, Lord, that you might receive honor and the glory that is fitting and due your name. Lord, I pray if there's anybody right now that is watching, that is tuned in, that have not received Jesus Christ, that are not sure their sin is forgiven or have that hope of heaven, that, Lord, that they might come and not live in fear, but put their faith in the one who made them and created them and gave them lives with plan and purpose, giving them the power through your Holy Spirit to change what they can't change. God, draw those that don't know you to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close with a worship song together.